Look at this. Now, when I was playing numbers, I know none of y'all never used to play numbers. But when I was playing numbers, well, I used to have some joy when I used to hit. But what about all those times in your life when things are not going right? When you experience hard times, the Lord still expects for you to rejoice. Now, my mother used to make me mad, and I saw my wife do it to my children one time. I had done something I wasn't supposed to do. Mama saw it and called me on it. And I was the type of kid where I'd rather my mother just give me a whipping than talk about me, because her words were something else. And after she got finished whipping me down with her mouth, she said, "Now tell me you love me." That was the last thing in the world I wanted to say. And I just looked at her like this. And she said, "Come on, tell me you love me. Come on, give me a kiss." Remember your mama did that to you, Catherine? Yeah. Well, that's how it is with God. Listen, you know what? You have to understand the power here in this verse of scripture. I can say now that my whole world might be coming apart, but I can still say, "Lord, you're good." The kids ain't acting right, and I can say, "Lord, I'm still going to praise you. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for your power. Thank you for my deliverance." It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. You can still rejoice in the Lord, because he demands it always. This joy is not contingent on what your situation looks like. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You got to understand what we're talking about here. Okay, we're living in crazy times now. I used to see unscrupulous merchants do children. Mom tell the kid, "Take this money in this note." She got it all wrapped up together. "And go down to the man at the store and get what's on this list." What I saw is oftentimes where the kid did not know what he had, the merchant was able to take advantage of the kid, because the kid didn't know what he had, let alone how much change he was supposed to bring back. Now, I'm telling you that we are at war. If you don't understand the significance of this, and you are going to be a representative of the Lord, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. If you one of them people that only want to give God some praise and only want to rejoice in the Lord when everything is going right in your life, then you're in trouble. How in the world are you going to minister those who are truly broken and pray and rejoice in your prayer as you intercede for somebody else, if you don't understand this? Honey, even though you may not be talking to me right now, I'm still going to give God some praise, and I'm going to rejoice in him. You don't let nobody stop you from rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. You don't want to be on that downward trend anymore. You got to stop that. I refuse to be depressed. The devil's a liar. So we have to rejoice in the Lord. Now, if you look at 1 Peter 5:7, yeah, we got cares. We got concerns. But you give all that to him. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why don't you cast it on him? How in the world? You know, listen, the Lord is not stupid. He has told us, "Be anxious for nothing." How are we able to be anxious for nothing We are able to be anxious for nothing because all the concerns we have, we put on him. Amen. Listen, you deal with it, Lord. I'm keeping my eyes and all of me focused on you. The Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because the Father know what you have need of. Don't be concerned about those things. Keep your focus on his righteousness. Lord, help me to walk in your statutes. You deal with it. My kids ain't listening. Lord, you deal with it. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. You deal with it. You haven't said render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Open up the doors of opportunities, God. Make it happen, because I'm not going to worry about it. Amen. Cast your cares on him. Why? Because he careth for you. Why would you take your problems and concerns to somebody who don't care nothing about you? That don't make no sense. He careth for you. Amen. So you have to consciously, this is the sixth principle, you have to consciously cast your cares on him. That's a conscious act. It doesn't happen by mistake. Okay? I remember one time in the service, man, evangelist was praying for this woman all week long for deliverance. Do you know at one point, the demon spoke out and said, she won't let us go. Sometimes we have a thing in our life that hinders us. It is a serious stronghold. And others may, God may give to you through discernment, bring others into our life to pray for us. Because he's given them the ability to see what it is that we need deliverance from. But we won't admit that we don't want to let it go. So if we have things that we are holding that are getting us into trouble, then we're not going to do this. Now, you may be like that man who asked for deliverance. You have to say, well, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe that you can take these things away from me, but you need to help me in my unbelief, because this is a conscious act. Consciously, we have to say, well, I've come to the end of myself. I just can't deal with this. Not a day longer, not another minute, not another second. Lord, please take this from me. This is what we have to do. Amen. All right. So now, this here takes personal discipline. It's not easy. You know why? Because we have a tendency to internalize our problems. We keep everything inside. We got to get it out of us and cast it onto him. A lot of times, you know, you know if you're that kind of person. Some people, they're just not, you know, we are wounded. We have become wounded people. And so we have a tendency to keep the things that plague us inside. We internalize it and we put walls around it. And nobody can get near it because we've personalized that thing. Okay, and yet it's getting us in trouble. It's taking our health away. It's draining us of our joy. And we won't let it go. We say, well, you know, in order for you to be helped, you got to let it go. So now if you're having problems letting it go, be honest with yourself and with Jesus and say, well, Lord, I'm having a problem letting it go. And he'll help you. It's not easy. Now, in Luke 8 and 14, you can read that. Talks about what happens when you don't do this. If you don't do this, the opposite process will take place, and you're going to be choked by the cares of life. You're going to find yourself ensnared in such a way that you're never going to escape. Okay? We are oftentimes choked by life's worries. Which is a sin. God told you don't do that.
Amen.
Okay? And you see that in Luke 8 and 14. And then our personal spiritual growth will take a personal back seat to the stresses of modern life. Those things will come to the forefront. We're going to be worried all the time, going out our mind, worried about one thing or another. And our spiritual life is going to take a back seat. When you look at Matthew 3:11, I baptize you with water for repentance. Oh, stop right there. Because people want to know, well, what is the water for? He was often fond of drinking wine. Why didn't he do it with a bottle of Ripple or something? Okay? But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He, that is Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Yeah. Now, you know about this, well, you know, we really can't say enough about being passionate in the Spirit. That's the only way I can describe it. I can imagine how you were, Sister Lydia, before you got saved. Because I can see the fire of the Holy Spirit where he moves in you now. But before you got saved, you must have been a terror. But God is using that same fire, and he directs it in the way that he wants you to go, and we can see it, and you can see it in the saints all around. Everybody is different. There ain't no two of us alike. Amen. But when the Holy Spirit get on you, he'll do something to you. He'll do something to you. Now, and I love it because, you see, the way that Sister Lydia is different now when Holy Spirit move on Sister Bernice. Comes out different. Her personality is different. Oh man, she'll cry in a minute. But on the surface, it don't look like she has the ability to cry because women are hard as nails at times. But when the Holy Spirit get on her, she breaks down in passion. This is one of the most caring people you will ever see in your life. A giving person. She'll give you all that she has. She'll give you everything that she has. But on the surface, it don't look like it. And let me tell you something, everything ain't like it look.
Amen.
Everything ain't like it look. We need that baptism.
Amen.
We need that fire. We need the Holy Ghost moving in our life. So we have to look to Jesus for renewal. And that renewal also, renewal, that's baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. So now if we are broken, down and out, our spiritual life has become ground to a halt. We're not doing anything. Only thing keeping us is God's mercy. Because we certainly done reached the point where we're no longer even useful. Then we need this. We need to undergo every step of these principles. We have to recognize our need. Lord, help us. Listen, let me tell you something. A man fooling around with this woman. The woman cut the man. Man running the church, right? He's sitting all in the back trying to hold his arm together. We're trying to exalt the man. Listen, I'm going to call 911 and get an ambulance here. You need to go see somebody. The man said, no, I'm not going nowhere. Just give me a minute. What I'm trying to say to you is this. You have to recognize that you're in trouble. The nature of this trouble is beyond your ability to deal with before you go to the emergency room. Nobody goes to the emergency room unless they realize they're in trouble. If you don't realize you're in trouble, we can have the whole church saying, man, why don't you go? Why don't you go? Why don't you go? As long as he don't believe he's in trouble, he's not going nowhere. If you're in a position in your life where you're not going anywhere in the spirit, where you're in the trouble in the spirit, and you don't recognize that you're in trouble, you're not going to do anything about it. It don't matter how many people talk to you. It don't matter how many people try to exhort you to do what the word tell you to do. If you don't realize you're in trouble, you're not going to do nothing. And that's why we're bringing this today. Because for years, I walked around thinking I had it together, and I really didn't have it together. I was in trouble, and I didn't even know I was in trouble. But thanks be to God for the praying saints. I used to give my wife so much trouble. One day she said, you know what? I'm tired of talking to you, man. I'm going to go in my closet. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to get all my friends to pray for you. And I was like, yeah, all right. Look at me now. Huh? Praise God. I thank God for a praying wife, for praying saints. We're supposed to pray for one another. Okay, because sometimes you can be in trouble and don't even know you're in trouble. You ain't going to reach out and ask for no help if you don't realize you're in trouble. You got to know you're in trouble. And in the nature of that, well, you got to go to God and you got to humble yourself. Make yourself transparent and say, Lord, please help me. Okay? I know. That's it. We got to look to him. You know, everybody's got these virtues and different personality traits, you know what I mean? And as we look at one another, you know, you can find things that you can admire. Like with pastors, it seems like nothing gets him upset. Man, I'm climbing the walls, you know what I mean? He's sitting all back. I need some of that. So I asked the Lord, give me some of that, Lord. You know, I have a tendency to be too hot-headed and fly off the handle and all that. And we here, we were studying the word, and we read, and he never did anything to defend himself. He never raised his voice. All that opposition come against him, he never raised his voice. Man, I'd have been screaming. I'd have had my gun. But I know that because of that, I need him more than I ever needed him now. Even as bad as I was when I got saved, I need Jesus more now than I needed him even then. I need him more now. Let's look at these here principles one more time. Let's just summarize it, okay? We need to acknowledge our need. And now, as we have all fallen short of God's glory, because we are all as filthy rags compared to his righteousness, we need to acknowledge our needs. There is something in the lives of each and every one of us that gets in the way. And if we don't know what it is, we got to be smart enough to ask the Lord to reveal it to us. And then once he does that, we say, Lord, I need some personal revival in my life. According to your word, according to Psalm 85 and 6, I need that revival in my heart. Pursue forgiveness and cleansing from all sins. You know what? Some of us done did so much wrong in our life that we forgot all the things that we did wrong. And because we forgot, we don't confess because we're no longer conscious of all the mess that we done did. But God has not forgotten. He can bring that to our consciousness. And upon receiving that and recognizing what he has shown us, we can say, well, Lord, forgive me for that. We need to pursue that forgiveness. Man, there ain't nothing in the world like my wife when she ain't right, when she mad when I did something. Man, listen. Then she give me the silent treatment. Man, I can't stand that. I got to let her know I'm sorry. Whatever it takes, I want to make it right because I don't like us to be like that. You mean too much. You know, even though my life ain't like her life, just knowing what pleases her, what displeases her, I'm not going to do nothing that's going to displease her because I love her too much. Well, it's the same thing even more so here. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, you know, let me just say this one thing. Sometimes we think we grown. I'm 50 years old. I thought that once I got to be 50, I wouldn't ask nobody permission no more. And then the Lord say, anytime you deal with me, son, you got to come as a child. Humble yourself. As little children. That's how we got to get. Lord, I'm sorry. Sometimes when you say you sorry, I know you really ain't sorry because of the way you said it. You just saying that so that I stop talking about you. You just saying that so maybe we can end the conversation. But you ain't really sorry because there is no conviction in the way that you say it. I know that you ain't sorry, and God knows it too. So if we don't come as little children, broken, and say, listen, just lay it all out, we're going to stay down and broken in the spirit. And then because of that, you have no joy. If you go to John 14, he tells you, if you abide in me and I abide in you, your joy will be full. But if I ain't in you and you ain't in me, you ain't got no joy. So if you ain't got no joy, that means you ain't got no strength. Hello. Okay. So now, you can do it the easy way or the hard way. Consider if God is perhaps humbling or testing or teaching you in your current desert experience. He's going to have his way anyway in your life. You might as well make it easy. Now, even though you might be going through some changes, you still got to rejoice in the Lord. Because there's somebody always worse than you are. The Lord, even though I ain't eating what I'd like to be eating, I'm praising you because I'm at least eating something. There's somebody ain't eating nothing at all. As bad as your situation is, you can still rejoice in the Lord. Here I was in prison all them years. And, you know, everybody's like, I was framed. I really didn't do nothing. I could never say that because I was guilty. Okay? But I had reached a point where I said, Lord, I thank you because you put me in here. I thank you because I could have been dead had I stayed out there. There was still something to rejoice in. And all the little things that I was concerned with, and perhaps you're concerned with, you cast your cares onto the Lord because he cares for you. Stop trying to be sophisticated and grown and keep everything to yourself, internalizing your problem. You know what? I was looking at stress and how it contributes to disease. Okay? We have these worries which trigger an anxiety response in us. Okay? And they're physiological responses. That's what stress is. It's a physiological response. And if allowed to go on long enough, it will actually cause diseases in you. The Lord said you should be free of all these anxieties and worries and stuff like that. He knows not that you don't have these things, but when you do get these things, you just give them to him. You sing this song, what a mighty God we serve, but how if he's that mighty, how come you don't give him your problems? Amen. We have to be, the Lord, you know, I used to think that this here, all this was some folklore, you know what I mean, and a book of fairy tales, but it's not. The Lord means every single word. And we got to take that to heart. So we got to cast all our cares on him, and we got to seek to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. When I used to run up on people out there, listen, here I was the robber man. And I would run up on them and say, listen, this is a hold up. Act like you don't want to give it up, please. When you taking money, you got to do it with authority. When you do the work of the Lord, you must do it with authority. You can't come out here trembling in the name of Jesus. not with the kind of power that's associated with that name. Amen. You got to do it with authority in the name of Jesus. Okay? So we have to seek to be continuously filled. Every day, renew yourself every day. We need that fire. Now, if we follow those principles, God will do the rest. He is faithful. Everybody will be filled with this kind of joy. Listen, I'm telling you. I remember being in the service with 60,000 people praying in the Spirit. It was so incredible. The Spirit of the Lord come into place. People couldn't even stand up. And that's what I want to see here. I want to see prayer like people going out of their mind, totally uninhibited, because of the joy of the Lord. I want to see it. I want to see it. Ain't nobody got to touch you or lay hands on you. You know what I mean? Listen, let me tell you something. If you want to see something, everybody get 10 saved people that you know, that you care about, and bring them to the church. And all we got to do is put them in the middle of the floor and start praising the Lord. Let me tell you what the words say. The Lord say that they overcame by what? By the word of their testimony in the blood of the Lamb. And if we lift up the name of Jesus, I will draw all men unto myself. That's what he said, right? This is what goes on when we go in the street. We meet people as we find them. We introduce them to Jesus. We lift the name of Jesus through our testimony, and we give them the good news. And you know what? The Lord does the rest. So that's the challenge that we give to you today. Because we asked the Lord and have told the Lord, we desire fruit. We desire some fruit. So now you go out and you talk to them and you do these things, God will do the rest. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we give you the praise, honor, and glory, Lord, for you're worthy to be praised, oh God. We thank you for using us, oh God. We thank you, Lord Father, and that you have refreshed us, oh God, through the ingestion in your word, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you would help us, oh God, to internalize these principles and to do these things, oh God, so that we'd have a closer walk with you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all, oh God, who have received your word today, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you would use that to enrich their lives, oh God, and that through them, oh God, others might come to know you, Lord Father, as we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, brother. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We are so blessed of God. Amen. And his blessings are continuing. The word that is preached here is such a blessing. I don't know if you really understand this. We have such a blessing of the word, and we have people filled with the Holy Spirit here preaching, and then the Lord brings other people here preaching, and we hear the word. Amen. It's such a blessing to know. And he's not done with us. There are others that are rising up, and they'll be coming and share the word, because God cares about us. We heard that, right? Heard that in the message of the day. The reason God blesses us with the word is because he cares about us, and he brings us these different perspectives, because I might not reach you with the word, but Brother Nelson might. He may not reach you, but a sister might. Brother Anastasio might reach you when I can. You don't know. And somebody else would be raised up. Yes. And all this is so that we can edify and lift up each other, right? Sister Thompson brings the word. Amen. Souls are blessed. But what more importantly is not what's being spoken here. It's what we take away in our heart. And when we all go out to the streets, to the highways and the byways, to the playgrounds, to the workplaces, and the Holy Spirit takes something that's been put in our heart and at just the right moment brings us out and we speak with our mouth what's in our heart, and it touches somebody's heart. And it changes their lives, amen. I know some of you say, well, I'm not an evangelist. Yeah, you are. You're a Christian, right? You were called to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may be reluctant, but every once in a while you can't help yourself because the Holy Spirit, you look at people and say, don't you know Jesus? I mean, you just need to know Jesus. That's all. And people say, well, I don't know how to pray. We just heard the best prayer you could ever have. Help me. Lord, help me. It's the shortest one and it's the most effective. Lord, help me. Amen. And when you pray the word of God, he always hears and answers. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Give the Lord another hand praise for that word. Amen. Amen. I am so blessed by the word we've heard this whole week and the Bible study. And oh, man, the Lord is just really moving, and he's blessing. Amen. As we concentrate on him, as we seek out his word, he's doing all the things he said he'd do, right? And because when we fill up our hearts and minds with his word and we concentrate on him and keep our eye on him, we don't have time to worry. Amen? Because his word is astonishing, astonishing. The more we read it, the more we love it. The more we love it, the more we read it. Amen. I'm one of those people that when I like something, I really like it. Amen. And see, the things that are now favorite in my life is the word is my best favorite thing. It wasn't always that way. It used to be hamburgers, but now the word has moved ahead of that. And then, amen. And then my wife, I like better than hamburgers now. Hamburgers used to be my top thing, but just moving down, you know. Jesus' name, amen. But this is what God will do. He'll change you. He'll transform you, right? Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I know some of you are old enough, you remember those old Popeye cartoons, right? They had Wimpy. Yeah. I was Wimpy, man. Yeah. Give me a hamburger. I'd sing for you, talk for you, whatever. Just travel across the state. Two hamburgers? Okay. Amen. But look what God can do, right? He can use us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. One thing I just want to add is the word we heard yesterday and the word we had today, and all of it is about loving each other. Amen. And why do I want to be filled with the joy of the Lord? Not just for me, but I want to be filled with the joy of the Lord so that I can be a blessing to you. Amen. See, that's the other thing we have to talk about, because if I'm downhearted and down in the mouth and everything, it's going to be hard for you to enjoy my fellowship if every day you see me, I'm, right? It's not that we don't love each other, but it's hard. And so what we can do is we come, we have fellowship, we edify, we lift up each other, and then that joy is complete, and then we can go out and share joy with other people who may be down. But I need to have joy in my life, and you need to have joy in your life so we can build each other up. And you know, we don't all get complete mastery in every area of our life at the same time. You know that, right? That's why we have to come together. Because I may see Sister Lydia having victory in an area that I'm not having victory in, but I know if God has given her victory, he'll give me victory. And so I'm encouraged because I know God is doing it. And I know it wasn't her, and I hear her testimony. I said, well, wait a minute. That's the same God I serve. Amen. Amen. Yes. So I'm encouraged by the testimony that I hear from the saints. Because I may not have mastery in this one area of life, but I know God is doing it. He can do it. And so if he's doing it, I'm staying right here. Now, on the other hand, there are areas that I may have mastery in. And so I have to share with others, this is what the Lord did for me. Amen. It wasn't me. It was the Lord who did it. Brought me out. What a God we serve. It's a good thing I'm not preaching today. I'm just telling you. I'm excited in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're grateful for all the Lord has done, and the word is good, and the blessings are good. Just keep praying one for another. Amen. We're in a time of suddenlies. We really are. Things are going to happen and happen and happen, and we cannot forget our God. He's warned us for this over the past couple years. He said, when I do bless you, don't forget me. When I do all the things I said I was going to do, don't forget me. Okay? I want you to remember it was me, not you, so that you don't worship the things that I give you, but you worship the one who gave them to you. You don't worship the liberty that you have. You worship the one who gave you liberty. You don't worship the fact that you now have been more than victorious in your circumstance, but you worship the power of God that gave you the victory when you couldn't see it. We got to remember that and watch God work. Watch God work. He's doing great and mighty, mighty, mighty things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know. I can't see back there. Do we have the communion? It is back there, all right. Well, we're going to go ahead and receive communion at this time. Amen. Hallelujah. While they come, we had a wonderful time at Bible study, and just another exhortation to you. The Bible says, the Lord has told us that if we are willing to understand that when the easy things are no longer hard for us to do, the hard things will become easy. And the Lord just wants me to exhort you. We've been reading, when we finish reading Psalms, it'll be in 66 weeks that we've been reading Psalms 119. Because we've gone through it three times. This is the third time. Now, some of you may not have even started reading it yet, but you still have a chance. Start. Amen. But the Lord is trying to tell you, this is one of those easy things he talks about. It wasn't asked for you to read books of the Bible. It said just read eight verses. Eight verses. Every week. Read it. Understand God's plan and purpose for your life. Understand God's love for you. Just reading these things. Understand how he would have you walk. He says, this easy thing, when it's no longer hard for you to do, the hard things will become easy. Right? Because we live in the kingdom of God where everything is give and receive. And our God works that way. He gives you. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, right? All he asks you to do is these simple things so that you can know him. Be good stewards of his will and his perfect plan. Amen. Amen. Come forward. Amen. Amen. I saw Brother Vincent. He's right back. Okay. All right. I'll wait for a second. Amen. Praise God.